time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Hey everyone, surprise. This is not Carla, this is Roosevelt. I'm Roosevelt Nivens. I'm going to serve as your host today. But before we jump into the interview, let's start our show and set the right tone with some live music. And the name of this song is True Worship by Carla Nivens. Welcome back, everyone. Again, my name is Roosevelt Nivens. I'm going to serve as your host today for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. That song is one of my favorites from Carla. So we are going to switch it up a little bit today, right, Carla?
That's right. We're going to switch it up.
I'm going to serve as the host, and today I'm going to interview Carla because she is a superwoman in my eyes, and she does a fantastic job. But first, let me say that the Every Heart, Every Woman show, radio show, is a program of Love Ministries, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And you can find more information about Love Ministries from the website at loveministriesbills.org. So, Carla, welcome to my show today.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you
on
for
your show
me. Thank you for joining me. All right, so we're gonna jump right into this. We have a lot of information I would like Carla to share.
Okay,
so Carla, you're a wife, a mom, a worship leader, a volunteer at Love Ministries, and you of course you're hosting your own radio show, and now you've written a book. What made you decide to become a published author?
Well, the surprising thing about your question is you are the one that put it in my mind to become an author.
What?
He's like, what? Like, he didn't know. I really wasn't thinking about doing anything like writing a book. And the book is called True Leaders with Heart, Weekly Meditations for Leaders. And I really live on quiet time. And you know that about me. that early in the morning, often I'm up very early and I bother you. I wake you up. Do you want to air any grievances right now on the show?
Not for the public. No.
Okay.
But she does wake me up.
Yes.
She slams doors and turns on lights.
No.
And I think you wake me up on purpose.
No. What? You are airing grievances. You just said you wouldn't. And that's not true. I try to be as quiet as I possibly can, and inevitably something falls or whatever. I don't know.
You make a lot of noise.
Somehow I make a lot of noise, but I'm really trying to be quiet. But I'll wake up 3 or 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, to do quiet time. And that's really when I'm, you know, worshiping, praying, reading scriptures, writing songs from the scriptures that I read and that I'm studying for the week. And I also write, I call them scripture focuses for our band at Highland Park United Methodist Church. And I send it out to the band every week just so that we can focus our hearts and our minds around the Lord and come to worship and come to rehearsal ready for the job that we are set to do. And so when I write those, I think I let you read a couple and you said, you need to put these in a book. And I sat on that idea for a long time because I really didn't see myself writing a book or doing anything like that. But after I started the radio show, I think they gave me a lot of confidence that I could do things that I didn't know how to do already, and that I could just get information and knowledge from the people that are around me. I always tell people that our band at Highland Park is a think tank, that there's so much talent and so much knowledge among all of the band members that a lot of times I just go to them and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. How do I get this done? And that's what we did with the radio show. And so I think doing the radio show gave me a lot of confidence that I could figure things out and just start the process. And I went through a publisher for this book, and now it's done, which unbelievable.
That's right. We are very proud of you for doing that. And just a point, you know, what you and I have realized in our marriage is God speaks to you for me,
yes,
to give me a word,
yes,
and vice versa. He may say something to me to give you a word.
Yes.
And so that's where the book idea came from. And I saw your heart as when you were getting up and praying and worshiping on your own and writing these meditations that I knew came straight from God.
Yeah.
He gave me a word to tell you to put that in the book.
Yeah.
So other people can see and hear his word through you. So before we move to the next question, I have a sub question to that.
Okay.
So in your opinion, why is quiet time so important? Mm-hmm. Why do people need to focus on their relationship quietly with the Lord?
Yeah, you know what? For me, it helps me have the right attitude, and it helps me to keep my personality, because everybody knows once you leave your house, anything could happen. And sometimes even before you leave your house, you know, things aren't going right. You've planned to, you know, have breakfast on the table at this time. Something happens. You don't have enough eggs. You know, you don't have the milk that you want. Somebody already ate the bacon or something like that. So
she's talking about me, y'all.
I'm not talking about you. I just
anything left in the refrigerator is fair game.
Well,
this fair
not
game.
Necessarily.
If you don't want it eaten, don't put it in the refrigerator.
I wasn't talking about you. I knew this interview was going to be difficult.
No. It's okay,
you
though.
Read
just
something
tell all my
into everything.
On the radio.
No, I didn't say That's anything okay. about you. I'm just saying that sometimes things don't go like you planned, even before you leave the house. But then when you get out, somebody says something, you take the meaning wrong, or they meant it wrong in the first place. And then it's hard for you to just kind of keep your personality and keep your spirit lifted and, you know, keep your joy. So I personally just need that quiet time. Like, I feed off the quiet time. When I don't have quiet time with the Lord, I'm a different person. My fuse is shorter. And, you know, a lot of things don't come out of my mouth, but then in my brain, I'm thinking this person is evil, even though I'm not saying that, you know. So, you know, so I need the quiet time because it gets me closer to the Lord. And I also think that's where my creativity comes. Everything that I write or come up with comes to me in that quiet time.
Good, good. Well, thank you for that. So as we talk about the quiet time and your book, what are some of the things that you want people to take away from True Leaders with Heart?
Yeah, I want people to, number one, you know, I'm a worship leader. So for me, everything goes back to the heart of God. So that's really why, you know, the radio is called Every Heart, Every Woman. And really, our hearts need to be centered around the Lord. The book is called True Leaders with Heart, really combining my first CD, True Worship, which True Worship really just means you have a heart for the Lord. Like, your heart is very sensitive to Him. So the same with the book, True Leaders with Heart. I want everybody just to be able to meditate on the scripture, which is so important, just to keep the scriptures in your mind, in your heart, going. I read something that said, you know, you should be, every minute you should be talking to yourself and saying scripture to yourself and repeating truth to yourself to help you throughout the day. So this is really what I want you to get for True Leaders with Heart. I want everybody, you know, get ahead of things, get ahead of life, because life will hit you hard sometimes, and difficult things, I always say, are lurking around the corner. You can't see them, they're coming. You know, when you get to that corner, they're already there. So if we are constantly living in a life where we're meditating on scripture and applying that scripture to our lives, we can make sure that our heart is always focused on the Lord and that we keep our eyes focused on Him. I always say, keep your gaze focused on Jesus Christ, because if you look at your circumstances just with your eyes, you might be tempted to crumble and you might be tempted to give up. You might be tempted to quit early. And there are so many scriptures that are telling us to keep running, run this life, live this life in order to get the prize. The prize is, of course, life with Jesus Christ, you know, in heaven, worshiping Him. But run this race with endurance. Don't quit. And so we need meditations. We've got to focus our hearts and our minds on scripture and just kind of fill ourselves up with truth. So that's what I hope people get from the book.
Very good. So, you know.
That's all right.
It's all right. Okay.
Yeah. He's
all
looking right at me like, is that all right? I had to clear my throat. That's all right.
Yeah. You know, this is my first time. but I wanted to bring up 2 points. You know, we talk to our own 2 children an mm-hmm. awful lot about these things. So Naomi is 17 and Roosevelt is 15.
Yes.
And they are our 2 young people that we're going to put in this world that is going to make a huge difference mm-hmm. and an impact in our society in a positive way. But we talked to them about several things. One is life will punch you in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's appropriate to say, but
that's
life will
true.
Punch you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a personal relationship and you haven't spent time in His Word, then when it punches you in the mouth, you won't know how to react.
Right.
And you won't be prepared. And you won't know where your source of energy and strength comes from.
Yes.
So that's one thing. The other thing is that we talk to our children about being leaders and about speaking life to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, you know, having those self-meditations and speaking life to yourself and having God's word in your heart just helps you. Because not everyone around us is going to speak life to us.
Right.
And so when it happens, you have to be able to speak life to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We tell our kids, you know, there's enough hatred going around. Yes. Don't hate on yourself. Make sure you speak life to yourself.
Yes.
And use God's word to edify your spirit when you need it. And so there's one thing that we know for sure that will never leave us. And that's the word of God.
Amen.
And that's the presence of God.
Amen.
And so we train our own two children about that. So when they feel like they're lonely, they know that they're not.
Right.
And when mom and dad are not around, you don't need us because you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he can do infinitely more
than
what we can do.
Amen. Amen.
And so we just want to make sure we put that in their spirits.
Mm-hmm. And you know that I was at a woman's conference, and Pat Smith, actually, Emmett Smith's wife, was one of the speakers, and she said that same thing. Her story was just that her mom went to heaven, and she was a young woman, and she, you know, realized that her faith was so tied to her mom's faith and what her mom believed. And when her mom went to heaven, it was a struggle for her. And so she told this room full, and it was a packed room. I believe it was at the American Airlines Center. It was a packed room. And she told all of these women, make sure you teach your children to have their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you leave this earth, your children need to know what to do, where to go, you know,
Amen.
How to pray, how to worship, how to connect to the Lord, how to hear from the Lord. And so for me, I want my kids to see me in my quiet time. I saw my mom in her quiet time. And honestly, I've said this before in the show, honestly, in my head, I thought it does not take all that my mom was doing, spending all that time with prayer, writing things down, you know, everything that my mom taught us, all of the songs that she wrote, all of the plays that she wrote, they all came from her quiet time. And she spent a lot of time in quiet time. And as a teenager, I never said anything, but in my mind, I thought, it does not take all that. You can do life without spending all this time. And so I said that to my daughter one time. She got up for school and I was up praying and making noise.
Singing real loud.
Yes. I was not
stuff,
loud.
Turning on lights, slamming doors. Right. Waking up the whole house in quiet time. Air
this
quotes.
Is so
quiet
funny.
Time.
Okay. No, I really am quiet. But she got up for school and she just looked at me and she turned to walk out the door and I said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it does not take all that. And she said, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You spend way too much time doing all of this. And I said, you just keep thinking that for now, but this is your future. I mean, my mom never once said, you must get up with me for quiet time. And I want to make sure you do your quiet time. She just did it in front of us. And we learned it. Your children will, I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, your children will pick up things from you. They will just learn.
That's right.
From your life. So that's fortunately and unfortunately at the same time. But, you know, our kids are picking up from us, from the things that they see us do. So we want to be careful about what we're teaching.
That's right. I have habits that my dad used to do growing up,
mm-hmm.
the way he would talk and move his hands.
Yes, you do.
And now I find myself doing that.
Yes,
and I just
do.
Start laughing about
we
it.
We point it out to you all the time when you act like your dad.
Y'all do. Y'all
yes.
do. But he's the best man I know, so I'm okay with
he
emulating
is.
Him.
He's
the best
so
man
wonderful.
I know.
He's I love him.
He's a great
him.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to your book. So you talked about who you were writing the book for. Who do you consider a leader to be?
Yeah, you know what? Because so many people don't consider themselves leaders. And I want to challenge that thinking because the world is watching. If you are, you know, a bus driver, if you drive DART, the people
or
that
or a
are,
school bus.
Yeah, or look at you.
Or a school bus.
Dr. Roosevelt Nivens. superintendent of Community ISD, y'all.
School is cool.
So if you're a bus driver, when you're sitting on the bus, this is how I am. You know, when I'm on the bus, I'm looking around. I'm looking at the driver to see how's the driver interacting with people. I'm looking at the people, seeing what they're doing. I'm looking and taking in information. What that means is that I'm learning from the people that are around me. So even if you are in a position and you're thinking, I'm not a leader, nobody's following me, I want you to rethink that and change your thinking around. Somebody's always looking at you. Somebody's always watching you. Somebody's always learning from what you do, from your habits, from what you are saying, from how you're treating people. Somebody's always watching you. So we're all leaders. We're all leaders. We're all having an impact on this world. Your title at work, it may not say that anybody reports to you. Fine, great, perfect. You know, or your title at work may say the whole company reports to you. Perfect. You know, you are a leader. And leaders have a responsibility in this world. Leaders must show the heart of Christ to the world. And if you're listening and you're thinking, I do my job every day and I'm at home every day, but I'm not sure if I'm showing the heart of God. Well, true leaders with heart is for you. You know, it's for you. Get the book and read the scripture, meditate on it, apply it to your life, and kind of pay attention to what you're giving out to the world, and make sure that people can see the heart of Christ through you.
Very good. Man, you are a really smart lady.
You.
I married up, y'all. Okay. So
I did too.
Right now what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back to hear more from the great, fantastic, beautiful, talented, wonderful mother, wonderful wife, Carla Nivens. We'll be right back.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Roosevelt Nivens. I'm serving as your host today for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have the opportunity and the pleasure to interview my wife, Carla Nivens.
Yes.
So everyone, welcome Carla Nivens to her own show.
Thank you. Thank you for calling it my show. The first part, you called it your show. So
we're
back to normal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. So before we left the break, you talked about who was the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I heard you say is that we're all leaders in our own aspect and what we do in life. And so we should behave as such.
Yes.
And we need to make sure that we are monitoring our own behavior to make sure we are exhibiting the traits of a leader.
Yes.
That's what I heard you say.
Yes.
All right. So now, in your opinion, what are the traits of a leader?
You know, that's a great question, Roosevelt, because some people think, not all people. I will say that I have learned so much from you. You are a great, great, great leader. And that is one of the main reasons I married you. You're a great leader. I was raised in the home with a great leader. My dad is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And
I like him too. He let me marry you.
He did.
I like him, yeah.
He did. And so I realized that I had great example. I had great examples in my mom and my dad growing up, and so many people did not. And so I'm thankful and I am extremely blessed because I grew up with wonderful leaders in the home. So I think I can recognize the traits. And when I, you know, saw you and just loved how you were leading young people and how you were caring for young people. And I could immediately see just what the Lord was doing through your life. And I knew even back then that you would be superintendent of schools, that you had the capacity to lead in that way. And your dad is a great leader as well. When I met him, he's one of the other reasons that I was like, yeah, I feel confident in marrying you because he is such a great leader. So I have all these examples, you know, in our family of great leaders. So many people do not. And so many people think that leaders have to be difficult people, hard people, not close to the people that they're serving, not caring. And honestly, that's not the example that Jesus gave us.
So go back. Go back.
Yes.
Because you said something, and I want your listeners, my listeners, to hear. You said the people they are serving.
Yes.
So you think a leader should be a servant?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Explain that further.
Yeah. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came here to forgive our sins, and ultimately he died on the cross for our sins, and he gave his life, you know, for us so that we could believe in him, that we could live in freedom, and, you know, that we could be on this earth and do greater works than he did for people so people can see him in us. And we forget that the first trait is to be a servant. The first trait is for you to care so much about people that you get to the point where you put their needs first above your own. That, you know, just like I've been reading Galatians 5 for the last 2 weeks and I'm stuck on it. And one of the main things that it brings out in Galatians 5, it says that, you know, how you take care of yourself and how you love yourself, that's how you're supposed to take care of people and love people. That's what Jesus did. So the traits of a leader, number one, you're supposed to be a servant. Number two, you are supposed to show love above anything else, that love covers everything. And so many times, and I get tempted with this myself, when somebody does something wrong to you and you know it's wrong and you know they didn't mean you well, you want to do something back. And great leaders figure out how to solve problems and let people keep their dignity and cover people. And even if ultimately the person has to lose employment at this job, great leaders figure out how to do it in a way that the person gets to keep their dignity, you know. And the one of the main things, and I see this in you all the time, great leaders love people so well that people just want to follow them. They don't have to force people into submission. People are like, you know what? I love that person. I know their heart is good. I know that sometimes they have to make hard decisions, but I know that they're trying to make the best decisions for this organization, and I trust them. And, you know, and I'll follow them. Those are traits of great leaders. And the last thing that I really think that great leaders do is pray for their people. And so throughout this book, True Leaders with Heart, that theme keeps coming up. Are you worshiping leader? Are you praying for your people? Because ultimately you want the Lord to speak to everybody's heart, and you want You want people who are full of the Holy Spirit working in your organizations and working with you and living in your home with you. That's what you want. You want people to be full of the Holy Spirit. So you're always praying for your people.
Amen. Great words of wisdom, Carla Nivens.
Thank you.
So a couple of thoughts I have. I'm going to repeat what you said. So there's a saying that if you think you're a leader, turn around and look and see who's following you.
There you go.
And if no one's back there, then you're just going for a walk. So some of us are just going for a walk. Mm-hmm. And some of us are leading people and we're not aware of it because we don't speak life to ourselves and we don't think we're worthy of being able to lead people. Mm-hmm. Well, newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, none of us are worthy. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy.
Amen.
And so as long as we are in his steps and following his will for us, then you're worthy.
Yeah.
Another thing is, you know, leadership and tithing defy logic. Mm. The more you give away,
yes,
the more you receive.
Yes.
And so in tithing, the more you give your money to the church and give it to the Lord to do his will, it's amazing how he just reciprocates that in blessing you.
Absolutely.
But also in leadership, the more you serve your people, the more you give away, the more you are paying attention to the needs of others, the more responsibility and the more followers and the more authority and the more influence that you have.
Yes.
And so the Lord trusts us with influence. And so you have to make sure you're trustworthy with that responsibility of influence,
mm-hmm,
because you can influence people to do things. And so the Lord has to be able to trust you with that kind of authority.
Amen.
So I appreciate that. As we talk about the traits of a leader, and you briefly spoke to this about the leaders you look up to and learn from, you talked about your mom,
mm-hmm,
your dad,
mm-hmm,
you talked about your absolutely great husband.
Yes.
You talked about his
my
great
exceedingly
leadership.
Great husband.
Yeah, exceedingly great and abundantly great husband, Roosevelt Nivens Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
Are there any other leaders that you look up to outside of your family that you want to just talk about really quickly?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell a quick story about your dad. You know, because the first time I met him, first of all, you all look pretty much like twins. You know, you do. You look so much alike, which is great. But my first time there at your parents' house, meeting your parents, went there to Austin, and your dad came home from work, and he was a teacher and a coach. So, and you were a teacher and a coach, so at that time.
Right.
And so I know how much time that takes, and I know how tired you are because you teach your whole school day, you know, and then after school you have to continue to be with your children and you coach them, you know, for practice. And then after all of that, he would leave school, come home, and then he would do like deep cleaning, not just wipe the counters down, but he was cleaning under the burners on the stove and deep cleaning the oven. And immediately I thought that's leadership because he goes above and beyond for his house, for the people that he's caring for. So things like that I consider great, you know, great leadership. I also see leadership in our children.
Amen. I do too.
Yeah. And, you know, our daughter, she loves track, and she like eats, sleeps, breathes track. And her coach says, you know, she texts me all the time with ideas, and her ideas are good ideas. They're not just frivolous things.
Yeah, she has a little bit of she has a little tenacity to her.
She does.
She has that spirit. I don't know where she got that from.
She got that from you. And she recruits people. So she is walking around the school looking at people, and then she'll go up to them and say, it looks like you run. Did you run at your last school? You know, run with me after school. Let me see if you're fast. And the underclassmen, their moms come to me and tell me thank you that she's, you know, looking at the underclassmen and welcoming them into high school and talking to them about, you know, what they can do on the track team. So she, you know, she's a leader. Like, that just comes out of her heart. So I see leadership skills in her. I see leadership skills in our son. You know, he's wonderful, especially at Love Ministries, sharing his testimony. He's more of the quiet
yeah,
one.
It's funny how they are very different.
They're completely different.
Two kids, same parents, same house, very different.
Mm-hmm.
But they get our traits.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I'm the more extrovert, outgoing.
Yes.
I love being around people. I love talking to people. And Naomi does. And then Roosevelt is a very quiet leader.
Yes.
And he leads more by example.
Yes.
And he's always doing the things he should be doing. He's in the places he should be. Behaving appropriately.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I go to the high school and I watch, you know, when I go, I'm the superintendent. I watch all the kids.
Right.
But when I see my own two, now I'm looking at them with daddy eyes. And I always see how these students are just around Roosevelt.
Right.
And he's sitting there just being quiet, mm-hmm. listening, and he's mm-hmm. giggling a little bit. But they all come around him because he just has his aura about him.
Mm-hmm.
He has his influence about him, and the kids like to be around him.
Yes.
And then Naomi, on the other hand, you know, she's cracking jokes, but she is pressuring the other kids to be excellent.
Applying pressure.
She puts pressure on other kids to be excellent and don't go out there half-stepping.
Right, right.
And so she's like, you can't be on my track team if you're not going to be the best.
Right.
So we need the best you got.
And Roosevelt funny. Has this wisdom, so he's mostly quiet. He'll you know, not say too much, but then when he talks, everybody gets quiet so they can listen because he's been thinking about things and he has this wisdom inside of him. And I just love that. So we can find traits of leaders all around. I say that because some people think, well, kids aren't leaders. They absolutely are. And if you're not looking at the young people around you, the teenagers, the children, the college students around you, and pointing out their leadership skills, it may take them years to figure out, oh, I am a leader. You know, there are things that I'm doing that don't come easily to everyone, that I am a leader. I am helping people. Our band is full of, our band at Highland Park, full of, man, the most talented, the most giving and loving people. This is the best group that I'm a part of, you know, the band at Highland Park. Everybody's so super duper talented and sharing. If you need to know anything about what they do, just ask and they will give to you. They will give you knowledge. They will help you on your journey. I love to get young people in the band because I know that they're going to grow, that they're going to get knowledge from everyone else that's already in the band. So I have great leaders around me everywhere.
Well, and I watch you as you lead your band. And I watch you guys' relationship. And so you've established a culture of excellence in your band. One thing is that you give your best every time you guys go out and you lead worship, every time you guys rehearse. And you've established that culture of trust with your band. I see how you guys joke around, but you care about each other,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing life together.
Yes.
And it's not something where Carla's on this pedestal and she's our leader and we can't touch her. It's that you take the time from your own personal Bible study to write a word that the Lord has given you, send it to them to edify their spirits so they can be the best people they can be. And so I watch you do that, and I'm very proud of how you are leading that group because there's not a lot of women in that group.
Right.
And so, you know, men, speaking as one, men, you know, we have egos, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's hard for us to listen to people who haven't been in our shoes and mm-hmm. our situation. Mm-hmm. And the way you're doing it by being a servant leader allows anyone the opportunity to follow your lead, and they're okay with doing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't ask people to trust us blindly, but I think your guys would trust you blindly if you asked them to, because you do such a great job speaking life to them and helping them and living life with them.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, because I don't approach that group. I think there's so much talent in that group. If I were to approach this group any other way, I think it would be a fail. I think I consider myself their greatest servant. That's it. That would be my title.
Yeah, you talk all the time about how talented they are.
Yes.
And all your band members at their particular instrument and other things, you always talk about how talented they are, and you tell them that. And so that's one of the things about allowing people to keep their dignity. And so I'm sure you guys have disagreements amongst the band.
Yes, we do.
Creative differences.
Yes, creative differences.
Right? Did I say that right?
Yes.
I'm not creative at all, y'all. But creative differences.
Are.
And so talk to me. This is off script, but if you guys have a disagreement mm-hmm. amongst the group mm-hmm. and you're the leader, how do you handle that?
Yeah, we had to work at that because we are, and creative people are sensitive people. So all of us are sensitive, every single one of us.
Yes, about your art. Y'all are very sensitive.
We're very sensitive.
That's right.
We care so much about what we present to people. And so if there are eight of us up there, we have eight different opinions. And probably no opinion is bad. It's just eight different ways of doing the same thing. So we had to get to the place that, number one, that we trust each other and we love each other enough to go with one idea. And that just took process, and that took time. And we clashed a whole lot. But also we realized that as talented as we all are, and I mean, it is such a talented group, we're stronger together. When we're together, because we do break off into small groups and do things around town in small groups, what we do together is fantastic. I mean, it is anointed by the Lord. And we know that we're called to be together. And most of us didn't know each other before we started playing together at the church. The Lord called us all there together at the same time for a purpose. And we want to make sure that purpose, that we keep that number one. So if we keep that purpose number one, and that purpose is to serve people and to set a tone and an atmosphere for people to be able to worship, to welcome people into an atmosphere of worship so that they can connect to the Lord and get what they need for the Lord. It really has nothing to do with us. We're just the middleman. And so if we keep, when we keep that mindset, we can keep all of our egos in check, because we all have them, and just keep that love between us. And we just had to get to the place where we trust each other enough to go with one idea. Everybody's ideas are fantastic, and everybody's experienced in so many different ways. So it doesn't matter which idea we follow. We just have to decide, okay, we're going with that idea.
So it's not your idea every time.
No.
Y'all should see her face. She's like, oh no.
No.
Yeah, because you know, in leadership, ego and emotions will kill the organization. Mm-hmm. And if you're a leader that leads by ego, or you make decisions with your emotions, you won't last a long time. Mm-hmm. And so being on a great team, there's nothing like being on a great team. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like having a teammate or teammates, and you're vulnerable with one another. You trust each other. And even though you're the leader, someone else has an idea, and you say, you know what, that idea is better than mine. Mm-hmm. And just imagine how much that edifies your teammates to hear the leader say, you know what, I didn't think about that. That's a great idea. Let's go with that one. And it just makes everybody better. And then people come to the band, or they come to your organization, or they go to work or wherever, and they feel like they are heard. Mm-hmm. They feel like they are valued. Mm-hmm. And so you spoke briefly about my dad, and he will come home and clean up after mm-hmm. teaching and coaching. And I did that for a long time as well. Yes. And it is very trying, very mm-hmm. tiring. So out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, hug on your teachers and hug yes. on your coaches.
There
I have to give a shout out to my people in public education. I love teachers and administrators. Yes. I love yes. kids, man. It's the absolute best. But anyway, enough about that. But I watch you after a long day of worship, and then you'll go back to the green room and you'll start picking up trash. I don't know if you know you do that or not. You'll pick up trash. You'll throw away the coffee. You'll clean the coffee pot. The breakfast you guys had, you'll put that up. And then if there's some left over, you'll let the other guys know, hey, there's some more food in here for you guys to mm-hmm. eat. And so you exhibit those same traits yourself.
Thank you.
And so our time is running short.
Okay.
So I want to ask you one last question. If you can go back to your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say to have confidence, to just calm down. Don't worry so much. Don't think that you're not putting the pieces together. Young people, if you are following the Lord, and figure out what that means to you, you know, go to a Sunday school class, go to a Tuesday night class or Wednesday night class at the church, you know, worship, read the Bible. It doesn't matter which version of the Bible you get. Get a version. It really doesn't matter. Get the children's Bible with the pictures. Perfect. Read it and just take it in. Just keep reading it. Keep studying. Keep walking with the Lord. And the Lord will guide you. And the Lord will help you to put the pieces together. So I would say if you are young, just calm down. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're getting there.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to die. We're going to be all right.
No.
Just trust in the Lord.
We're good.
Okay.
And so can I say this? I want to say for the book, True Leaders with Heart, that it is available on the publisher's website, Exelon Press, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. You can also go to my website, KarlaNivens.com, KarlaNivens.com, and you can get the book.
Yeah, I know this is your show, but I was going to ask you that.
Sorry.
I can read the script, lady. I can read. I see it coming.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay, so I guess I've been fired from being the host.
No.
But before we sign off, let me thank you again for joining us on the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Again, this show is a Ministry of Love Ministries, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Please follow the show and stay in contact with us through the website at KarlaNivens.com and, of course, social media. Mm-hmm. Carla, we are so proud. Let me take that back. I am proud of you.
Thank you.
And your children and myself. We are so proud to call you. I'm proud to call you wife and friend, and I'm sure they are proud to call you mom.
Thank you.
But again, ladies and gentlemen, go out, get the book. You can order it. If you just Google it, you can find it, True Leaders with Heart. It will bless your spirit, but it will also help you become a better leader so
Amen.
You can influence people and they can lead others.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, all we want to do is glorify Christ in what we do.
Amen.
And if we are servant leaders and we are doing what we should, we keep our eyes gazed on Jesus Christ, y'all, there's nothing impossible.
Amen.
And we can change this world for the better from the inside.
Amen.
And so if you want to follow Carla Nivens, she's on social media at EHEW Radio, all one word. And then join us next week. And I guess I'll let Carla have her show back next week.
Yes.
But we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you today, Carla, and to interview you.
Thank you.
The rest of you guys have a wonderful week.